Hello and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. This is episode 418. And if you're watching in the video version, which is available on YouTube, get the plug out of the way early on, you can see that it is just me this week with Christopher Hyde, sort of over there.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good, mate. We are, this is for the video viewers, this is what you call podcasting on a budget, in that there's just two of us. Your computer's not ready to be used right now, so we're using your phone. So this is right behind the scenes. I'm sat here, just I'm comfy as normal. Here's my nice shiny microphone, and then you are literally there on a phone, probably out of sync at some point. But then that's why you listen. The podcast is an audio thing, isn't it, Chris?
It is for this week. So yeah, we're making it work for the fans. We're making it work. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine, but we've got to get a podcast out because there's just so much happening. And this time last week, I couldn't talk about a game that I'm going to talk about this week. We've got two games to talk about this week, two bits of news, and lots of listener correspondence. And this time next week, hopefully we'll be able to talk about more games. Hopefully we can get Chris White on soon so we can talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla. But for now, Chris, I've been playing a huge game, in my opinion, but we're going to pause that one to talk about the biggest game of the year. Now, that's not Cyberpunk 2077. Might be to us, might be to you, the viewer, listener, reader, watcher. I thought trying to think of another adjective then, but I ran out. FIFA 21. Now, I'm sorry for those listening who hate sport, but me and Chris don't, well, Chris and I don't hate sport. So for myself, I don't know about you, Chris, but I really look forward to the yearly FIFA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we kind of showed off the boxes last week. That was kind of the preview, if you like, to what was coming. We're kind of just about to start playing. FIFA 21 is FIFA 20, to put it politely. I mean, that's not a terrible thing in one sense, especially when you think about what PES is doing, PES, esports, football, whatever that is.
This year.
But you know, when you think that is literally just new team updates, you know, FIFA, it doesn't feel that wrong that that's what's happened in FIFA, but to obviously make you try and think that it's more than that, it is. And there are some changes, and we'll get them out of the way, and we'll talk about some of the interesting decisions in a minute.
I wanted to ask you a question before we get into sort of what's new, what we've done, because I think this question is incredibly telling. And even if you don't like football, or FIFA or PES or any sports games, it's still a very telling question. So when I normally get FIFA, usually it's early and it's for review, and I'm just like obsessing, like just playing hours, tens and twenties, thirties hours. I just cannot stop playing it. Which I would expect would be the same for you. Is it this time?
So, yes and no. So I know that I play FIFA very differently to you throughout the year, I think. I play the pro clubs aspect of it with some of my friends most of the year in dribs and drabs. If I'm honest with you, we kind of do it, you know, not every night, but you know, we'll get up and try and see how far we can get. So I'm playing FIFA. I've been playing FIFA 20, you know, for quite a while in the last year. So that has kind of transitioned to FIFA 21. But to answer your question properly, have I really gone into some of the other modes that I normally would at the start of FIFA? So when I started FIFA 20, go balls deep for ultimate team.
Well done.
You know, squad battles, that kind of stuff. Look at the other aspects and, you know, the career modes and stuff like that. That I've done a lot less of in FIFA 21. I've kind of dabbled a little bit, and then just kind of already I find myself right now. I mean, I've only had it sort of a week, but I find myself going, this might just be pro clubs for me, and that's it. And I think that's kind of how I feel about it, because I feel like I've done the bits that were new in FIFA 20, and now FIFA 21 is just a continuation of pro clubs for me. And that probably is very black and white. I probably will play a little bit of it, but yeah, I completely get where you're coming from in the sense that it doesn't feel as new and exciting as it normally does around this sort of time of year. You get a new FIFA. I did feel that, I'll be honest.
Day
when it arrived and I showed it off, showed the case off, everybody, I was like, I'm really looking forward to playing this. Like, I did still have that feeling.
Yeah.
But it kind of went quite quickly.
So what I do, I always, find that whatever difficulty you play FIFA on, when you get the new FIFA, you have to kind of roll it back one level. Because they've always changed enough. They've changed just enough, if you know what I mean, to make you have to kind of not relearn it, but they've changed just enough. So I did that. My first match, rolled it back a level, won 9-0. And that's the moment I knew, okay, they've not changed much. What it felt like to me, or feels like to me, is that they have basically turned the sliders up to make the game overall play quicker. But I don't feel like an awful lot aside that as much has changed.
I feel like the game
quite
is
disappointed.
The game definitely feels quicker.
Yep.
I feel like if I was to think about other things that are different, the crossing feels a little bit different. I think we spoke about this. You know, FIFA 20. Unless I'm just rubbish at it, it's hard to score crosses and headers. Whereas
in FIFA 20,
FIFA 21, it feels different and easier to finish from crosses. But I'm nitpicking and I'm thinking that's a key defining change between the two games. You know, I think the biggest thing that we probably do need to mention is the rewind feature.
Yeah.
We should explain what that is.
Yeah. So basically, it must be a while ago now, they started adding to racing games the ability that if you smash into the barrier at a hairpin and you realise you've just ruined a 10-lap race on your 9th lap, you could hit a button, rewind it, and take that corner again or whatever. That's now in FIFA. And I was a bit shocked when it popped up on screen. What is it? Left trigger, right trigger, and I think start or whatever the buttons are now. Back, it's not back and start anymore, but whatever the equivalent was. And then it said for replay mode, and I thought, what? They never normally wants me to go into replay mode, and I did that, and then I realised what it was. And I don't want to be that kind of guy, because it feels a little bit like the sort of Dark Souls gatekeeping of you know, oh, it shouldn't be in easy mode, and I don't think that. I think that if there should be accessibility. This feels... and. It feels anti-football to me, because it's a sports game.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this, because you're right. I imagine the reason it's been put in there is for accessibility purposes. But in a football title that already has...
Do you really think so? Accessibility? Really? Because, there are difficulty levels in this game. If you are struggling, you could just... Also, there are... Do you know what they... I know they've changed the system, but you know the FUT... No, not FUT. Like the FIFA catalogue. You can buy things in that during career mode to be like rematch if you did cock up. Yeah. So I don't. It's not the idea that bothers me.
I think the intention of including it was for accessibility. When you step back and say,
really genuinely believe that?
I think that was what people were going for. Whether they think they needed it, I agree with you completely. I don't think they needed to. A game that has difficulty settings and other things that help you on the way, I don't think it needs it. But also,
man, like this is a game that let's face it. Yes, there's a career mode, but this rewind functionality is not going to be available online. I haven't checked, but it just can't be. The idea of that having to sync up on a server is just it's not going to happen. It's not going to be available in FUT because that's server side rather than this must be client side. Side only modes.
Yes.
To the point where it's like, then why did you bother? Because I never saw anyone asking for this. They've implemented a new feature that will have cost a development time, and I'm just baffled as to someone put their hand up in a board meeting and went, "What about this, Gov?" And they went, "Oh, that's it's it." To me, it feels like no, it is a new game. Look, there's this new feature. It's like, yeah, but it's total wank.
I agree. I think, you know, when I think about other kind of genres, you know, it's in the one that came to my mind, probably because of Nintendo, but is it Super Mario
Strikers?
Wii U? Literally the platform where you can literally go, I've just fallen down a pit, I'm going to rewind a bit to give myself to try and play that little bit again. Mm. I kind of get why it's in that sort of game, because you're like, right, well, the challenge is laid out in front of you. There's ways in which you can overcome those challenges and you need to keep practicing that specific section. That makes sense. For me, the same doesn't apply, I don't think, in a dynamic...
But mate, they have that. Game. They have that in the training modes.
Exactly. And I feel like... Exactly. And I feel like this is why this mode is unnecessary, is because you have training modes, you have difficulty settings, you have plenty of opportunities to... you know, learn the game, build your skill level. Like you say, it's not like it's a crushingly hard game like a Dark Souls or something. You just need
to get good. It's not a fighting game that you've been thrown in and there's only ranked mode online and that's all you can do. There are learning opportunities in FIFA 21.
Yeah. And I'm really glad to see I play pro clubs. I'm so glad they can't rewind in pro clubs because you could imagine it would just happen all the time. It'd be like,
well, I mean, they used to be like that anyway with people using their old lag switches. And I mean, I guess probably not that bad now. Like, I don't want to, I don't like to start the podcast on like a negative, but I am tremendously disappointed with this game. To the point where I've basically shelved it, going, I'm going to wait to see. I mean, I don't think the smart delivery next gen version is going to change a thing. All it will do is look shinier. It's the same. You know, I've seen people say that, oh, maybe, you know, maybe the proper next gen version that they're waiting for the Xbox Series X. Like, but next year, that is. This the version of the game now is the version of the game. They will patch it because they do update games. But the game you're playing right now, putting that disc in a Series X will be the same game, but perhaps shinier. Maybe 4K 60 if it isn't now. I don't actually know. It's not like it's a bad game, but
I
think Call of Duty's going to suffer for a little bit of this year, where Call of Duty Modern Warfare and FIFA 20 were both games I kind of, like with FIFA 20, I was still playing a career mode until a week and a half before FIFA 21 came up, and that was because at the time I assumed review code was imminent because it normally would be, and that's the only reason I stopped, and genuinely, I'm one of these that I, outside of you know, God is a Geek or any game stuff, full stop. I am into football. Also, I coach football. I believe that I do sort of notice things in these games that change. I am really struggling to feel like there's enough of a change here. I feel like they should have done what PES did. Like they should have just called it like FIFA 21 roster update or something, and because I mean there are other modes, you know. There's the Volta stuff, which I have to be honest, now I'm not reviewing it. It just doesn't interest me. I mean, sorry, that sounds like I'm being honest because I'm not reviewing it. I mean, now I'm not reviewing it, I can say that Volta doesn't interest me, and I'm just not even going to play it. I have no the thing people wanted was FIFA Street as Volta, and it's not that, and I'm just not interested in the Volta side of things. It's I'm not being funny. I'm too old for that kind of hip, you know, shit where they're like trying to be cool and stuff. And the
stories, we're not cool enough, mate. That's maybe the thing. We're not
maybe,
cool
but like Ultimate Team is Ultimate Team. Career mode is slightly changed. It's career mode. Again, not a bad game, but very. No. I'll be honest, in my heart of hearts, what I was expecting. Because I assumed they would, this is like PES, this would be a gap year because the big changes will come next year. You know, when they cut to a crowd, for example, in FIFA 21, it still looks crap. It does. And not to praise NBA 2K.
No, I was just about to mention that in terms of what's possible and what they're doing.
Smaller crowds, maybe.
Yeah.
But man, you know what? FIFA is the leading thing in that genre. It is the leading game, right? Why is it so difficult to pass a goal kick out in your own box? That's been a rule for 2 years now, two seasons now.
Agree.
Why is it still the offsides from last season? Now, I understand that, like you and I, neither of us like the new offside rule where the flag stays down until the play's played out. I understand why it's in place. It's because of VAR. Also, where's VAR? Like, these are things that if you're the leading player in a field, you have to do. You have to push those things, and they're not. They're not because they don't have to. So the worry I've got now is what that EA, not specifically EA, but the game FIFA, will go back to the bad old days where it was just a roster update because they could do what they wanted. And I feel like PES is a good game of football now, but I feel like they need some competition. It is bad that FIFA trounces PES because FIFA doesn't have to do stuff now. Like, it doesn't have to, like, again, I feel like, back to the offside rule, I feel like the offside rule that it is now, while I don't like it in real football, in a game it could actually be pretty fun because the flag stays down all the way to the thing, you think you've scored, and then the flag, it's drama. And FIFA as a game has become Sky Sports Football FIFA, and that drama works. You know, I'd like to see I hesitate to say I want them to, because they are fully, I think it's a very arcade game now. I don't want them to put handballs in, because that's a random thing you can't control. And I get why, but the other stuff, it feels like it should be there. And it should be surfaced in a way that it's almost like, look, we're up to date. Look at the cool new stuff from this season that we're right up to date with. And it doesn't seem like it is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Obviously, we've been obviously messaging whilst we've been playing in this last week, and I think we're on the same page with this completely. I feel like there's some, it just feels, I will say rush, because I don't think it is rush. I just think it's like you said, they don't have to try, and I think
it feels like that. It feels like they know it. They know damn well, you know, that they don't have to, and that's again bad. That's bad. Not, I don't mean they're bad. I mean, it's a bad thing. That is a bad thing.
Yeah. Whenever you have competition, you get better end product, don't you? And with just a squad update for PES, it was always going to be, well, we don't have to try to be. Mm. We're already better by a lot of people's, a lot of people prefer FIFA to PES. And if all PES are doing is just a squad update, then we're already better. So we don't need to push the bar. So,
but like, I mean, if EA are going to do this now, if this is what they're going to do with FIFA, a game in the series I love, I'd rather they just went free to play and did that and went the kind of not battle pass thing, but just, they did try it many years ago with, I forget what it was called. I think it was like FIFA World or something. I think it was PC only, and it was just Ultimate Team, and the graphics weren't up to date. But I'd almost rather they just did that and it was just FIFA and they just updated it. It looked like a Fortnite, like a live service, but they won't do that because the game still sells gangbusters. But who knows? We should talk about Yakuza.
We really should.
I don't want to like talk for ages about it, because like it's in a preview sense, and it's one of those where I kind of went in knowing, I mean, I knew I was going to like it because I played the Japanese demo ages ago. I think I put a video of me up playing it. I think maybe it may have been Patreon only. I can't remember now. It's a while ago. But Yakuza Like a Dragon, I played on PC. Basically, it's a chapter of the game, chapter 5. I purposely didn't. Even the sort of the PR sort of went, you go and have a look at the website, blah, 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 see the synopsis. Like, I kind of don't want to, because I was never going to write about the story, because that's not what I was writing the preview for. I was more a case of, like, it's finally here. I will say, fantastic voice work, Japanese and English. Like, the lip syncing is terrific. If you've seen the preview video, you'll know that. You can see it. This game feels like it was made for me. Properly made for me. Like, it is a Yakuza game with all the charm and the humour and the heart of the Yakuza series, but they threw Final Fantasy VII's combat on top and then added a job system, and the job system's amazing. It's like a narrative cover for it, but you basically go to a Japanese job centre and you say, like, I want this character to be a chef, I want this character to be a bodyguard, I want this character to be an idol, I want this character to be a hippie guitarist, and that changes their moveset and their outfits in battle, and you level up the job system while leveling up their main level. And it's funny, it's charming, like I say, it's just got so much heart to it. Like, it seems to be the stories about the group are kind of all down and out, like they're all down on their luck, they've been betrayed, it seems, that it just... Like, what I would say is, I think most people who are probably thinking about this game are probably thinking, oh, Xbox Series X. I didn't play that version. I know people have. What I would say is that I played it on PC, like on all maxed out. Don't expect it to be a next-gen game, right? Because it isn't. It is a year old game. It's maybe more than a year old in Japan. Like, this is a PS4 game.
Yeah,
that's obviously being upscaled and up-resed for like new gen systems and PC. But don't expect. I mean, there may be there may be ray tracing. I don't know. There may be the HDR on the Xbox One. Sorry, Xbox Series X. Maybe
every week, mate.
I know. But maybe that makes it look amazing. The HDR. I don't have a HDR set up on my PC. Only on the TV behind me on the for the Xbox. And for the PS4, PS4. That, I haven't got a PS5. Don't go thinking I have. I haven't. That was there's a lot of console names in my head at the moment, planning and stuff. So don't go expect it. And I would say this of most of the crop of Series X games, and maybe the PS5. Don't go expecting this. I feel like we are at a point with visuals where we are kind of at a point of diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be why Xbox are trying to push into the 120 hertz thing, which again, I personally think is kind of the white whale. I don't think, I mean, I think there's like three tellies in the UK that do 120 hertz, and having a 120 hertz signal is no guarantee that it will actually be 120 frames per second. It's a messy thing. If you don't know, you'll need a HDMI 2.1 capable telly. You probably haven't got one of them. You might be lucky, and if you last year or so you bought one that will be updated, you probably haven't got one of them. The new LG OLED basically has like four ports, all capable. Don't go expecting a next gen experience. I guess if you're playing on Series X, you've got the quick resume stuff and all the, and that's cool. But this is, it's just, like I say, just to get, feels like a game made for me. I really, really love it. I sort of had to hold back a little bit because I knew I would be playing it from the start again and having to play all this again. But the beauty of that is that I can pick four different jobs and mainline them before I go back to the old ones.
Yeah. Have you got a sense, like, from what you've played, like the amount of jobs that you've got in
To be listed, unless there's some hidden ones. There's a good amount of them.
Yeah.
There's
opportunities to have, like, to your point, different parties, not just characters, I guess, but jobs within those characters.
Yes, and also there's...
I don't need to reveal stuff you don't have to, but I'm just in terms of...
No, there's nothing I'm aware I can't say about that system. So each, as you level up a job, there's like... So at level 4, you'll get unlock a new passive skill. At level 5, you might get an extra +5 on magic or health. And then at level 6, you might unlock a new move. And all the moves are kind of varying. And also then you've got the system where you can buy and upgrade weapons, which have like elemental effects on them. Like there's one I had that I think it was an electricity bat. I can't remember. I mean, there was a lot. There's a lot. It's very typical in the Yakuza games. There's a lot of everything. The job system, it does appear that most... So there are certain jobs only certain characters can have. So the build for me picked up where I was playing as a hero build, a hero class. Like that's one the main character can only... be, but there are like they can all be sort of bouncers, they can all be idols, but they can't all be X and Y. There are specific classes, if you like, for certain characters. I do think there's more characters that join the party, and that's not me like, oh, I can't say, I don't know. I would assume, like, I met one character I'm pretty sure is going to join your party at some point. It just seemed, I actually thought he was going to when I was playing and he didn't. So I will say the pound mate system is amazing. And that's a terrible, you know, pound mates sounds dodgy, to say the least.
Friendly. Yeah. Depending on the type of pounding, I suppose. But anyway, carry on.
Pound mates is basically Final Fantasy VII's summon system. So through missions, and I won't repeat the story, but the mission I did in the side story that got me a new pound mate,
that was so funny. I know you're not going to repeat it, but no, that looks... batshit, and it just perfect, just what I need in my life right now.
Well, that pound mate system is basically you spend your cash and you can summon. Like the first time seems to be free. It's just, and this is the thing. Like,
so you pay each time you summon.
Yes, yeah. Like I think it was 10,000 yen.
Right.
I don't know if they're all that, but the ones I had were.
Yeah.
And they come along, and some of them will just do like massive damage. Some of them will inflict like horrendous status effects or buffs or debuffs. Like there's a chicken that you can. There's lots of. It's Yakuza.
Of course
there is. It's Yakuza. Yeah. There's lots to this game. I can't actually say because I don't know, but I reckon it could be the longest or biggest one. Like there's like a whole Mario Kart thing in here. There's a whole sort of there's a whole like a business management thing in here.
Various things seem enormous.
I kind of don't want to review it, if you know what I mean. I kind of want to just
play it.
And not feel like I've got to get through it, which is not always the way. And like, but normally, to be honest with you, we'd have this game by now. And as it goes, I think the build I had, I could have started from the beginning, but was told not to, and I'm a rule follower. But that build's basically gone now. Like on Steam, you can set an expiry date, and that I literally couldn't play it now if I wanted to. So I kind of really want to now. But I also do... I was a bit disappointed to read that it's not 4K 60 on the Series X, because I feel like it should be capable of doing that.
60 1440, isn't it? And 4K 30 fine. Or something.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like it. I will say this much. I don't believe that's an Xbox issue. I think that's a developer. They've locked. I really think it could do 4K 60. If I still had the build, I could actually test because I've now got a 4K monitor for reasons. And I really think even with my 2060 in this PC, it would have probably done 4K 60 on that game. It like the facial animations are better. It is genuinely a lovely looking game. I really think the facial. Do you know what? I'm really excited to play as someone who's not Kiryu. And I love him, and I love like Majima, and I love all the Yakuza games. But there's just something about this guy's from essentially Yakuza Online, like the mobile game that only came to Japan. So I don't know anything about that really. He seems really cool. Like he's got great hairstyle. He's got, he's funny. There's less baggage. Like there's no history as such. It's just a kind of. So that's the other thing I'd say is if people are like, yeah, but this is Yakuza 7. I think there's a very good reason in the West they've dropped the 7. Because this feels like not a reboot because it's set after all of that, but it feels like a fresh start.
Yeah,
and I think this game's going to do very, very well. I think it should. Like I say, it feels really good. I'm getting
it feels. It feels like since I guess six, between the launch of six and now, I think the popularity of Yakuza has just gone from strength to strength with all the Kiwami releases and everything. I think it's like a perfect time now to release a Yakuza game in the West and for it to just do amazingly well for people. Because I'll be honest, I discovered the series with six. I think I wrote for on the site for that. And so I'm all in for this. So I'm one of those people. And I think there's a lot of people like me that, you know, a few years ago had heard of it, but didn't really play it. And now we're all in for this. So I think it could do really well and it deserves to, I think. So from what I've seen, I think it deserves to.
I mean, there was definitely a period where I felt like, as a fan, they were saturating it a little bit. But I feel like because this is so different, it is properly turn-based. Like, you know, you act out your actions on the screen and the sort of up here. It will show, like, you know, who's next. And you've got your party on the bottom and it will say next if they're next. You know, you can plan. The only complaint I'd have so far is it felt very easy, but then I don't know, the save file provided for the preview build was like, have they over-leveled you to make you feel, you don't know, you know, it's not your natural save file. You can definitely power level, like enemies aren't, it's not random encounters, but enemies appear and you can avoid them or go and fight them. It's like they're on the map. You can definitely over-level. I did over-level, like, because I wanted to try out the jobs, so I was kind of just going around looking for fights. I didn't really want to push the story on because I don't want to play a chapter of a story-based game. I wanted to fill the systems out. I think this is going to be very high on my personal list, but I'm basing it on a chapter of what will probably be at least 13 to 14 chapters of a game. I mean, like, it's not embargo breaking. I could go and look that up. The game's out in Japan.
Yeah.
Yakuza Like a Dragon. Like I say, pretty sure they've dropped the 7, and that's a smart thing because, you know, when you see something like Final Fantasy 16, you're like, 16, Jesus. So dropping the 7 and going, because it's not even the 7th. You had Yakuza Dead Souls, which is like a spin-off zombie sort of thing. So there are more than 7 Yakuza games. Because you've got Yakuza 0 as well, of course.
0 as well, yeah.
So like, you know, this is actually the 8th. 9th if you count Dead, which you can't because it's not canon. I don't think it's not canon because there's zombies in it. Very much looking forward to hopefully playing the full game, hopefully very soon, and hopefully on Series X. You know, I'd like to just, well, it will be soon. We're less than a month away from that console launching. In fact, we're less than a month away from them both being out.
Yeah, can't wait.
Wow. Speaking of next-gen consoles, let's do some news. We've got a lot of games we can't talk about this week, and there's people who are playing games they can't talk about. I'd like to talk about that Mario Kart Live next week, so I haven't had a chance to get stuck into that. But just stick with next-gen stuff. So Xbox Series X, they've announced the 30 optimized games on day one that look and play best on Series X and Series S. I don't think I need to read the full list of them. And then you've got games like The Medium launching on December the 10th and Cyberpunk on the 19th. They both take advantage of smart delivery. I'm sorry if I'm looking off screen. I'm literally reading the Microsoft Xbox.com news blog. Smart delivery games, you know, there basically means you can just pop the disc in or download the game that you already owned and it will seamlessly upgrade you to the modern gen version, new gen, next gen, optimized gen version. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which we've previewed recently, Chris. But you're not the Chris that previewed it.
Sadly not. No, it looks amazing. But yeah, we'll
7 hours, though, Chris played.
Yeah, but it looks glorious. I'll let him speak about that another time, but it looks glorious.
But I mean, from Ubisoft, obviously, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Watch Dogs, which I have played, not on Series X, on PC. Very interested to see how that will look with the sort of... I'll just check on the list. So I think it is Smart Delivery. It is. I'm very interested to see how that runs, because the preview build I played was locked at 1080 30. Or was it 60? I can't remember. But I know that like the ray tracing stuff, the HDR obviously wasn't on because it was played remotely. So I'm very interested to see how... Cause I thought that game looked good, but not amazing. But then, as I say, they have to pair things back because you're playing remotely and you're not getting that same effect. Borderlands 3... Bright Memory, which I forgot was coming out. People seem to keep going, oh, I'm so surprised that game's there, but it's already out, but the single player isn't. Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition is coming, we know that. Dirt 5, which is an interesting one, because I think that game looks great, but every time anyone mentions it, they seem to think it doesn't look very good. So,
yeah, it feels like one of those games that not a lot of people are talking about wanting to play on launch.
But it doesn't look as good as a next-gen racing game normally looks.
Yeah.
But it's not a next-gen racing game. You know, that game is available on Xbox One and PS4. So
yeah, it's just launching around the time, isn't it? That's the...
Yeah. Yeah. The Falconeer. Fortnite, of course. Forza Horizon 4, which I have heard many people say who have been in the preview program of Series X... doesn't work on Series X at the moment, so that's Game Pass.
Oh, really?
Let's just get into the Game Pass, and these are all Game Pass on Smart Delivery. Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, which I am going to play through again. I'm going to make a concerted effort to play Gears 5 again on a hard difficulty.
It's really interesting you say that. I was literally thinking, do I play that through again? And I've played it quite recently.
Co-op run, you and I, done deal. Co-op run.
There we go.
Gears Tactics, which I started on PC, and so my relationship with games on PC is that unless I have to play them for review, for the coverage, I tend to end up getting distracted by work, and that's an awful thing, but I get distracted by work. So Gears Tactics on Xbox Series X means I can't be distracted by work, so I'll be sat on a sofa playing a game. Grounded, which is in preview program. What else have we got? Game Pass, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Sea of Thieves... Tetris Effect Connected, I didn't know was Game Pass, but it is. The Tourist with a Y. That's it for Game Pass, I think. Maneater, Manifold Garden, NBA 2K21. We said Watch Dogs, Warhammer, Chaos Bane Slayer Edition, Yakuza Like a Dragon, and Yes, You're Great. So, we haven't got a Halo. But there are definitely games to play that are going to look better on Series X.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news. PlayStation. PlayStation 5, they finally broke cover and showed the UI. And I'm not sure the stuff they showed was for people who play games the way we do. The UI looked very slick, like 4K optimized. And that's another thing now people are going, oh, the Xbox One isn't optimized for 4K. It's like, well, it might be by launch. We'll see. Also, you play games on a console, and that's something I think that Xbox are really digging into this gen coming. You know, they're really going for the games, by the way, the acquisitions. A couple of things that stood out from the PS5 UI thing. You can essentially, via PlayStation Plus now, load up a challenge, which they're called cards, and they are basic. I think they're trophies. They're just linked to trophies. And you can, it will tell you how long, roughly, it will take you to get that. So if one of the trophies was like, it's basically complete a level or find the things on the level and complete it. And it's like, this should take you about 10 minutes. That's a cool little feature, I think.
Mm.
You can also...
I was just going to say, like, I think knowing how long things can take is an interesting thing, because when you think about trophies, sometimes simple sentences can be, well, that sounds easy, but then it takes 20 hours to do. So I think it's quite an interesting thing for people looking for little quick challenges, dip in, dip out.
My worry is that a lot of what I saw on the UI, they showed that off. They also showed off the function that you can literally click a button and it can, not will, but but it can, by again PlayStation Plus, link you to a video that shows you how to do that card. Like if it's like find this thing, it will just, the video will show you how to do that. And I think in terms of accessibility, cool, you're not wasting each other. But also, imagine if that was a feature in Breath of the Wild. I think it would take away from that game.
Yeah, but it is a feature in, what is it? Again, Mario, I keep mentioning that game, Super Mario Wii U Deluxe, whatever it is, the Luigi run thing and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, you know, sometimes to the point where it goes, you're doing a bit crap. Do you want Luigi to show you how to do this bit? No, I just fell down a hole by mistake. Back off, Nintendo. You know,
but how granular do you want to get? You know, and to the point where, like, this is your card. So this is the achievement, which is complete the level. Do that. We'll tell you how long it will take you, and hey, we'll show you how to do it. It's like, I don't think
you kind of get to the point where where's the point.
Well, no, what I mean is, think people like you and I will use these. It's nice because this is one thing I was quite surprised about, because I haven't seen anyone mention this. The thing they showed is that you can put this video picture in picture on the screen, or you can snap it to the side of the game. It's like, yeah, didn't people hate Snap? Isn't that why Xbox ditched it last gen, like a year in? That's it. There's some cool party stuff. So if we're in a party, I can literally hit a button and share my video with you. And not, I don't mean like a clip I've made. Like you can then have my gameplay of, like, they showed Uncharted while they were playing Sackboy, and in the corner there's just you're playing Uncharted, and I can see you again, picture in picture. And I think that's a really cool thing. They're making it more like Discord.
Yeah,
you know. I don't know. It was nice to see. It was nice to see the PS5 UI. Yeah. It does look sleek. They, you know, what they've designed looks like they've gone for an. My biggest concern is that what they showed, I thought, yes, that looks cool now, but in 5 years' time, that could be horrendously cluttered. But let's get the bloody thing out in our hands first before we. Yeah, let's get to some listener correspondence. Yes, absolutely. Thomas says, Chris, it's an episode of Geek Street, and you have to establish a new daily newspaper with a brief to cheer everyone up. Good luck. He doesn't say that, that's me. What do you fill those column inches with?
Mick Fraser.
That would be the centrefold, probably. Your angel in the centrefold.
I'd like to think that it'd definitely be a centrefold with him in various states of undress, I would assume.
Uh-huh.
Maybe with conveniently placed controllers and other things, but I mean, that would fill column inches. It would fill inches.
About
it would
11 probably of them, cheer
up as well. I feel like I'd probably fit the hit brief there. I'd be cheering people up and be filling column inches. How would you build on that?
Brief to cheer everyone up. I mean, just pictures of, like, people sticking middle fingers up at politicians? Is that too political for a gaming podcast?
I know. I don't. You haven't mentioned which ones. I think it's fine.
All of them.
We don't show any party favouritism.
No, we will do that. But I think what. So varying levels of aggression. So, like, you know, I vote red, you know what I mean? So we'll give them less of a hard time. But again, getting too political. But the blue ones, like, they get, you know, they really get... it's too political. Games aren't political, Chris, so let's move on.
No, indeed.
What word or phrase sets your teeth on edge? A colleague of mine cannot abide the word jobby, which to me is quite unpatriotic. And this is obviously from Thomas, who is Scottish. So, like, not liking the word jobby is... yikes, you know.
So
do you want to admit this, because
I mean, I'll just say it and then I'll explain. Like, I hate the word gash in the term of it being a cut before anyone else bloody says anything.
Being a, like, a what
a being a graze or cut.
Yeah, I mean, you could have said any different word. Laceration.
Like, yeah, I should have gone for, yeah, you're better at this than me. I just, it makes me cringe. I don't particularly like gusset. Maybe it's all the G's. But I just, this, that word, moist is another one.
I assumed someone would have said moist.
Yeah, that's an obvious one, but I think it makes everyone just go clammy as well. Clammy.
Or clam. Related to gash.
I think you're doing what you normally do and working me into a corner again where I'm trying to be innocent and you're trying to drag me down. That's what you do. Yeah, how about you? Any words that
I adore the language. That's one thing we do well, is that there are so many synonyms for so, like, you know, you said gash and clam, or I might have said clam, but I throw in flaps, you know, I mean, there's so many, and not just female parts, like the amount of words you can use to just describe a penis, for example. I think when someone says, like, the penis, it makes me sort of go, oh, that's horrible. can't you call it a cock or a, you know, even a member, you know? Penis, you know, it's...
Thinking about that, like the words or descriptions you can use to kind of be offensive to people in the sense of like cockwumble or something.
Terrific.
There's so
yeah.
many different ways you can literally combine different words to just be really offensive, and I just love that. Like finding new ways
I just don't have a word, I don't think, that makes me go, you know, like I say, I really think that there's so many words. Use them, you know, like I mean, you know, for example, I do like the fact that, again, penis, people can call their Johnson. And I move that from here on, we call it the Boris.
No, I know. I do think that.
Sorry,
it's
not a political podcast. We should move on. As the switch enters middle age, Chris, what do you predict for next year? Thomas, this is last week one we didn't get to. I'm expecting its peak year, a pro model and shed load of Zelda goodness. And how about
So obviously with the 35th year of Mario this year,
yes,
you kind of instantly go to, don't you, what's the 35th year of Zelda, which is next year. The fanboy in me also says it's also the 35th year of Metroid, Nintendo, if you want to think about that for someone like me who's still waiting for Metroid Prime 4 or the Metroid Prime trilogy to come on Switch. So, I mean, if I'm going to set, well, what I predict, there will be loads of Zelda stuff in the same way there was for Mario. They will do that. Whether that will end up landing with Breath of the Wild 2 at the end of the year, don't know. But I think we'll definitely get some sort of re-release.
You're going to get the HD re-ups again, I would have thought.
We'll get the HD re-ups.
I would think a collection, possibly.
So there'll be some sort of collection. I'd love a 2D collection, but I guess they've kind of done Link's Awakening remaster, so maybe they won't. But then do they do a Majora's Mask Ocarina of Time collection or something like that?
I was thinking more based on the name. What was the Wii one with the motion controls? The one that took
Skyward
ages.
Sword.
Yeah, Skyward Sword. I was thinking Skyward Sword, Wind Waker, and, you know, that sort of
Twilight Princess.
Yes,
I mean,
probably. Of course.
I think of three, they're the one. I mean, the thing is with Zelda, there have been re-releases of Wind Waker and I want to say Twilight Princess already. Like, there's been remasters of them, I think.
Well, Wind
there?
Waker got a HD remaster on.
Wind Waker was on the Wii U.
Yeah, but that's why I think that will, because that's kind of the only game that hasn't at this point come to Switch,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'd love that on Switch. That was such a good remaster, that game.
Beautiful game.
Yeah, good quality music as well. I love that game. So I think there's going to be tons of Zelda stuff next year. I think I'm going to be disappointed if I had to say what I think will happen. Metroid won't come.
I think it will.
Unless they land, they might do the trilogy next year and Prime the year after,
and wing it that
the American release was actually 34 years ago next year, so that they do it the year after. They might do that, but like, I also think it gets a bit messy if you go, this is the 35th year anniversary of these four franchises. Maybe they will just try and pace it. But I kind of feel like the big one will be Breath of the Wild 2 by the end of the year.
What about the pro model of the Switch Pro? Or Switch
I think we'll have heard something next year. Whether it will be out, I don't know. But I think we'll have heard something next year. I think Nintendo probably would have intended to definitely launch it next year, but whether they're behind with everything that's happened this year, I don't know. But I think if we don't hear about it next year, it's never coming. And I think it is coming.
It is coming.
Yeah. So I think it's, I think we'll definitely hear about that next year. Whether it will creep back into the into the year after next, I don't know. But we'll definitely hear about that next year, is what I think.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree. I think we will get Metroid next year. I think there'll be
a collection. Think Metroid Prime 4 is coming
next
year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think
Okay, cool.
I mean, mate, if they don't, what they're going to... Breath of the Wild 2 next year, but they can't just have one game. You know, even this year's shown that they went... They started with Animal Crossing, but they have other games. I don't know. The Switch Pro, they like a sort of... I think they like a winter release, so I feel like if it's February or something, it would be February 2022. But like you say, they would probably announce it next year.
Yeah.
It's coming, I think, so.
Definitely.
G-Town Stephen Peter Carl Chambers, who keeps changing his fucking name on Discord.
And it's getting longer
It's getting longer, and I think that's deliberate. But thank you, Steve, for your Patreon support.
I think he's just going to see how many you'll read out. Like, if he keeps getting longer, mate, you keep reading out.
I am a consummate professional, and I will always read them out.
Indeed.
With this generation of gaming drawing to a close, Steve says, what have been the standout moments for you? What have been the biggest disappointments, unexpected surprises, and what will define this generation for you when you look back in 5 years' time? Now, and I'm going to point with this beer bottle. Now, I can't think right now of, and it might just be the state of mind I'm in, I can't think of like any enormous disappointments. There definitely have been, but I can't pull them. The standout moments... I think the standout moment for me is God of War. That's the one that straight away comes to mind. I think that game's fantastic, and I still believe that game set a new bar for gaming. I think about it now, and I'm thinking, I might play that again if they do sort of make it 4K 60. I mean, that would be a test. If the PS5 can run that game at 4K 60, that machine's a beast. Because I mean, unexpected surprises, though. Again, I think God of War again, because I wouldn't have expected that game to come back and me to have an emotional connection to Kratos.
I think with what had happened before, I think you didn't expect it to land where it did, the way it did.
Yes. The I 100% did it. You know, I did everything. Yeah. I got a platinum trophy. Yeah.
I'm struggling with like biggest disappointments. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I could probably, if you can think of some highlights, I could probably go back.
Yeah,
and disappointment awards. I should have some of them. I will have to look off screen.
I think the one that comes straight to my mind, Breath of the Wild. I mean, in terms of the things, God of War for me as well. Like, I love that game. I'm completely on board with what you're saying. I think Breath of the Wild was incredible for like the scope and the kind of the way it made you feel. I think you mentioned this in the Game of the Year podcast, like the clever use of not doing too much, you know, not being over exuberant with the music and things like that, and just letting you feel and be in the moment and feeling expansive and natural. I love that. It makes me excited for Breath of the Wild 2, how they're gonna top it and where they're gonna take the game. So that's definitely a standout moment for me, and finally getting my hands on that game and the Switch. I think at the same time, you know, getting my hands on the Switch and Breath of the Wild at the same time, I think was a particular highlight. I mean, if we're going back, it's like there's other things like The Witcher 3 and things like that fall into this and everything. And it's just there's so many.
Witcher, think, yeah,
when we actually look back and go, blimey, yeah, and that.
sorry, I'm just looking at the biggest disappointments list. I can't find them all. There's been some strange awards over the years, Chris. I'm not going to lie to you. So if we go back to, I think this is 2014, biggest disappointment that year was Watch Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I bounced off it, so I'm not averse to that.
The Walking Dead Season 2 and Destiny were the top three there. 2015, I've got like this is the working file up before we actually whittled them down. Outrage Culture, that was in 2015.
This is make a return every year.
Yeah. Broken Games, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. The Order 1886, which I quite liked. That was 2015. I'm not sure which one this is. There's a shortlist here. My God, there was a lot of disappointments that year. Ukulele was in there. Mass Effect Andromeda. I don't agree with a lot of these, but then I guess that's what we had the debate. Lawbreakers was in there. Microtransactions. Loads of development studio closures.
Yeah, that one did not, I think, in the end in that year. That was might a have disappointment. Been. Yeah.
I'm not sure. This is 2018's list, I think. Telltale Games, because I think that was the year they shut.
Yeah.
Everything to do with Fallout 76, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, PES 2019, Onrush's basically demise. Last year, there's maybe it wasn't so much of a disappointing year because we had Anthem in there, Far Cry New Dawn, Trials Rising, I remember arguing for, Days Gone, which, let's be honest, is a fine game now. There have been disappointments, but there's, you know, over the years, I guess. What would define this generation for you? I genuinely feel like Sony coming from a position of being behind to end up ahead with incredible first party output. Because let's be honest, the party system, the online of the PlayStation 4 is not exactly amazing. It just is functional. The Xbox is still best for all that stuff. But the launch of the Xbox, I mean, that's one thing that will definitely be remembered. I mean, the difference between the start of this gen and the start of the new gen, the start of last gen, do you remember it? Hashtag deal with it. Don Matrick, wasn't it?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Fuck, oh, mate. And the craziest shit about all of that that I will always remember is the stuff that everyone had a go at them for. The idea of family sharing, of game sharing, is something that almost everyone does with their mates now.
Yeah, like
it's crazy. Yeah. But it was just that guy was so bad at messaging that all the things he suggested, if you go back now, like, in some ways, Sony are doing it. Like, you know, the idea of, hey, if you like these games, we've got a console for you. It's the Xbox 360.
I almost said it earlier when you were talking about it. I was like, it almost sounds like the reverse of what we had at the start of the last generation and that Microsoft got panned for. But maybe they were ahead of their time. I think a lot of it was messaging, like you said.
Hashtag deal with it. Like, man. Yeah. Like, can you imagine Big Phil doing that? He's not doing that. No, that guy wants to take you for a pint. And I'm available, Phil.
I am glad as well that Nintendo's back, because you really did feel... I just thought, oh my God, the Wii U.
But do you think... See, the thing is, man, I think of them as a separate thing now.
I do.
I don't think we can call them part of the generation. I feel like they are, they're this side thing that they're over there doing their own thing.
They are, but it's, but I'm not saying that they're competing directly with someone like Sony. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's a better generation when all three of them are on point and they are delivering, and they are at the moment, and that is good because we all win. And quite frankly, when they're not trying to flog us a gimmick, they do best. And this is the Switch is functionality, not gimmick, and that's telling.
See, I think that's what this generation will be remembered for. The start of it was horrendous in that respect of not doing what we wanted, whereas the end of it to me is Xbox are actually following Nintendo now and saying, we get it. You don't give a shit about TV. You don't give a shit about apps. You want games. And I personally think that's what Series X is going to deliver on. I think they might take a little while, but the studios they've bought, the position they're in now, they are in a position to say, we believe in games, and time will tell on that. Whereas last gen, I feel like they just didn't do enough until it was kind of too late and they had to hit the reset button, you know?
Yeah, they almost panicked, but that panic gave us Game Pass. And there is a piece there where, you know, when I think about the things when I'm looking across the industry about what will I remember, I highlight the things we should talk about, Game Pass, and that going into this new generation, I think, will be really exciting.
And so, I'll also say that something that stands out, I remember, is Bloodborne.
Of course, yeah.
But Chris, I have finished my beer, which means it is time for the end of this podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, which admittedly was a bit of a lower key, more down, sort of more chilled, not so much laughs this week, we can't bring the laughs everywhere.
Intimate, I'd call it. Intimate
sexual podcast this week. But if you like that sort of thing, you can go to our patreon.com/godisageek, where you can find this podcast early. You can find an exclusive podcast twice a month. I believe we do it now. Fork Off, a food rating one. We try to do giveaways. There's a private Discord. You can follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube. If you're not watching this, this might not be the best week to watch, since I'm pretty much aware, and this doesn't work for the listeners, only the viewers, that Chris has been out of sync almost the entire episode. So
sorry.
Rewind it, watch it, and just watch it again, but only look at me.
Thanks.
It happens. It's just been one of those this week where we wanted to get you a pod. We had a couple of games to talk about. We'll be back in full force next week. So don't, if you are a new listener, don't judge us. I don't judge us at all, but that's not the way the internet works. Do judge us, but not on this episode. This is a bit of a technical difficulties one, and it you know, we've got your pod. We don't let you down. Unlike no, I've done that joke to death. This isn't a political podcast. Moving on to the end, Chris. Thank you for being here. Really appreciate it, mate.
No worries, mate.
And for everybody else, we will see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.